your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
David Britton, our spaceman.
Hi.
G'day, mate. How's it going?
Oh, not too bad.
Skies are a bit grey. Is that upsetting your visuals?
No, I'm inside at the moment.
Okay. Sweet.
David, are you a fan of the original Lost in Space series?
No.
More of a Doctor Who fan?
No.
More of a the real thing kind of guy, I think.
Star Trek,
yes. Okay.
Next Generation.
Star Trek, even the new Star Treks are actually really good. The new movies.
The new films have been really outstanding.
Yeah. This is not what we're talking about, though, is it?
No. Yeah.
Okay, sweet. What's on the agenda this week, David? What's going on in the space realm?
Well, a little bit of sort of news doing the rounds today. Apparently last night there was something seen in North Canterbury.
Ooh.
A burning object left a smoke trail.
That's not a bird.
And apparently there was a sonic boom that was heard by some people.
Oh, so a sound barrier was cranking.
Yeah. So reading through some of the reports and so on, it's a bit hard to tell exactly whether it was a meteor, like one that was like in a low, flat trajectory, or whether it was some space junk.
Is it usual for space junk or a meteor to let off sonic booms?
They can, definitely, if there's enough material there. The one thing about a sonic boom, though, it's usually quite a long time after whatever's there explodes or goes through the sound barrier that the sound actually reaches you.
Mm.
This is mostly going to be happening at, 30-plus kilometres above our heads. And sound, that takes quite a while to get down to the ground from that sort of altitude. So that's one thing that was confusing me, where some people said they heard this boom and thought it might have been, an earthquake or an explosion, went out and then saw it going across the sky.
Okay.
Onic boom.
Well, if that was the case, then it can't be travelling the speed of a meteor, because, it would have already gone out of sight by the time they sort of got to the window, if it was that.
The neighbours possibly shooting.
I'm not quite sure what it is. I think more people need to send their reports in.
Okay.
What can be really helpful, though, is people be specific about what they saw, to say, look, I was in this particular location and it went from, northeast to southwest, something like that, and it was low to the horizon but, by so many hand widths or something, and how long it took to travel that distance across the sky. Those sorts of details can make a big difference, because all you need is three people to have seen that same thing and give those sort of details, and you can triangulate.
Oh, rad.
Yeah. You don't need to have, a theodolite to do this, or a telescope, but just being a little more precise in the way people report what they saw.
What could be more teamworky than a human triangulation, eh? That's teamwork at its best.
Well, this is the only way to do it, of course, unless you get hold of NORAD and in the States, the military there, and get them to say, well, they saw something or they didn't.
Was that the best company name I've ever heard in my life?
What's that?
NORAD. What's that?
NORAD. That's the space monitoring arm of the US military.
Mm.
They track every piece of junk and satellite up in space that's bigger than about 10 centimetres.
Wow, that's tiny. Gee whiz.
Okay. And now, is the point of getting its coordinates in sort of, would you be hoping to find the remnants of this junk or meteor?
Well, that's always a nice ending if that's possible. But if you get three people at the beginning of the track, three people in the middle, three people at the end, then you can actually say, okay, this, whatever it was, went in this particular direction along the country. It seemed to be traveling, in a particular speed. You can get some timings and therefore figure things out a bit more accurately.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's figuring out the track that might tell you something about where it came from. Was it a satellite, or was it perhaps further afield?
Were there a few surprised people when they saw it and or heard it?
One good site that collects these sort of notifications is weatherwatch.co.nz. They're a weather forecasting site, but also the guy who runs it, he's quite keen on meteors and so on. So people send their eyewitness reports to that. He encourages that.
Nice. Now, speaking of weather, is it the Aeolus spacecraft has launched into space to track some of the wind that happens on Earth?
Yeah. This spacecraft is from the Europeans, and we always see NASA this, NASA that, and so on, but the European Space Agency does a lot as well, and this particular spacecraft was launched just a few days ago. The idea is that it's using an advanced laser system to track wind and wind speeds from space. So, you know, if you look at your rain radar on the internet, for Auckland, that's using a similar thing, but it's not using lasers. It's not going to work because the laser is going to be interfered with by water vapor and cloud and so on. But it's using the reflection of a signal to tell you whether something's there. This satellite can use laser because it's above the weather, and that laser light isn't going to be interfered with. It's got a clear path to the cloud below.
Okay.
And so what it's using is the Doppler effect. You know, as a ambulance goes past you with a siren going, the
familiar
siren
the
starts
Doppler
at a high pitch and it drops as it goes past you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that Doppler effect, they can use this reflection from the moving clouds using the laser to figure out direction and speed. So they're hoping to get a global handle on this to help with the computers, the supercomputers that do weather predictions, weather forecasting.
Now, David, I did a quick scan of an article on this, and the article said that this was some of the most advanced technology we have on Earth, and we've fired it into space. But wouldn't most of the technology being shot into space be pretty advanced? Is this streets ahead?
No, because some people are just making crummy rockets and shit.
Simply having something in space, you've got to have a whole lot of things taken into account, otherwise it's not going to work. Just anything going to space is always going to be pushing the boundaries of what people put together. Not everything has to be amazing technology. It depends on when you're talking about it. We've got the 50th anniversary of the moon landings coming up next year, and I'm sure there'll be a lot about that.
Yes.
The computer that was aboard the moon lander, your phone is more than 10,000 times more powerful than that computer.
David, I actually don't have a phone at the moment, so I'd rather you didn't use phone analogies. John, which phone? Which of John's phone
sure
are you talking about?
John's
work phone or his personal phone? John has two phones, so... So he's got double the computer power that I've got? Okay, great.
Okay, for those who have phones.
We've come a long way.
Some schools are able to, they put in to NASA projects, ideas, and NASA said, oh, okay, we'll do that one and do that one. And so these schools actually make experiments, send them up, on NASA craft, and NASA brings them back from the space station or wherever. And, you know, if schools can do that,
rich schools, with the money, cutting edge,
but this sort of satellite that's just gone up from European Space Agency really is. I mean, to achieve what it needs to achieve, it needs to be
pretty bloody good.
Pretty amazing stuff.
Now, are there four planets in the sky after sunset? Is this...
We've had four for quite a while, actually, and they're still there. Just like to remind people that if you go out after sunset, you can see them. I mean, Venus is pretty high in the west after the sun goes down. Then you've got Jupiter next going north. You've got Saturn, and then Mars is a lot higher. Mars is sort of tracking across the sky. So over the next couple of weeks, you'll see... Venus and Jupiter getting closer together. So, you know, get out there and have a look. Mars in a telescope, that big dust storm that it's had for the last couple of months is starting to clear, but it's still not, you know, a pristine view yet. And we still don't know whether the Opportunity rover is going to survive the dust storm. It's been in a sleep mode for the last couple of months because it hasn't got enough energy from the sun.
No power.
Poor little bloody bugger. I've got a Wally in my head.
Now, what's happening at the Stardome, David?
Well, on Sunday, we've got Father's Day. So, you know, bring your dad or grandfather or whatever fatherly figure in your life. So they get in free. I mean, you'll have to pay, but the father gets in. That's one father per paying person. So that's on Sunday. So that's to the there are six shows, 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock. I can't count. There are seven shows. 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 6, 7, and 8. The afternoon shows for children, so I guess that would be grandchildren, nieces and nephews taking their dad or granddad along. Mm-hmm. In the evening, Spring Stories in the Night Sky, Black Holes, and the Spring Night Sky. That might be for slightly older children bringing their dads along.
Nice. Well, that all sounds great, and we should encourage people to get along to the Stardome this weekend for Father's Day.
Well, absolutely. We've got a new show. I mentioned that along the way there, the one called Spring Stories in the Sky. We've had Winter Stories in the Sky for the last 3 months. So now we've got the next installment. There's obviously going to be four of these in total. So this is Saturdays and Sunday nights at 6 p.m. In September. So these are the stories in the stars, mostly with Greek and Maori myths and legends. It's narrated by Lucy Lawless and John Rhys-Davies.
Shit, yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much, David. We should check in with you in a fortnight's time.
Look forward to it.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.
See you later.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.